Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing today?
Doing a good roast on about 350. I should be done by the time the episode's finished.
Really?
Yeah. No, cool. I mean, like, I'm cooking because it's hot in here.
Oh. Take off all your clothes?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
That'd just be
That's
weird.
That's fair. I prefer you keep your clothes on, honestly. I hope you guys are doing well. We got a great episode this week. Before we get started, we want to remind everyone that we, please, if you like us, please rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, all those places. You can reach us on Twitter at Simpsons Show Pod, Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, and you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. This week's episode is, yes, Treehouse of Horror number one. Yeah, that is certainly appropriate for Treehouse of Horror. I've been waiting a while to do a Treehouse of Horror. This is episode 7F04, originally aired 10/25/1990, so right before Halloween. The intro is the standard Treehouse of Horror intro, at least for the early, those early ones. They just, where you, they pan over the graveyard and you get, you know, all the tombstone jokes. Which my personally favorite one was Disco in this one, but there was, I think, Paul McCartney, The Grateful Dead. I think they stopped doing that after the fourth or fifth Treehouse of Horror because it was too hard.
Yeah, it's hard to think up tombstone jokes after a while.
Yeah. The episode starts with Marge coming out on a stage and giving a warning about how scary this episode's going to be, and if they're small children, they should go to bed. Which is funny because it's... From what I've read, it's just, it is genuine. They weren't trying to be snarky or anything. They were like, this is a episode that has, like, you know, scary stuff in it. It's certainly not a normal Simpsons episode. And if you're a small child, we don't want you to get angry at us.
That's true. There's not a whole lot of axe murdering in other episodes.
Yeah, no bleeding walls and slimy aliens and stuff like that. But apparently it worked the other way around and that kids obviously saw that there was a warning. They're like, oh, we need to watch this now. Because, you know, that's what children see warnings on something. Well, let's go check it out.
Obviously, it has to be great if there's a warning on it.
Yeah, that makes it even more appealing. There's a spooky intro as well, spooky intro music, which is, this is the first episode with Alf Clausen doing the music. Because he composes the... kind of spooky Simpsons theme, which is really good, honestly.
It's fantastic. I mean, again, it's one of those things where they put a lot more effort in the music than pretty much any other show at the time.
Yeah, it's, and the music throughout the episode is all kind of spooky soundtrack music, and it works really well. Alf Clausen does a great job, and I mean, he becomes basically a great part of the show from here on out. It's hard to imagine the show without him, honestly. The whole episode has like a treehouse, a framing mechanism built around Bart and Lisa telling stories in the treehouse. Hence Treehouse of Horror. None of the future Treehouse of Horror episodes use it anymore, but the first one has it, and that's why it's named Treehouse of Horror. And it has Homer basically coming in trick-or-treating, an adult trick-or-treating, and...
Or he might have been stealing other kids' candy. It's Homer, after all.
That's much better. It's much better that he stole candy instead of just walking around and negotiating, taking candy from other adults.
Maybe the power plant had a Halloween party.
I don't imagine anyone listening to this is not familiar with how Treehouse of Horror works, but it's three mini stories up until, like, maybe, I think it was the 15th season I read, that each segment, each one of the three, was written and directed by a particular writer and director. They're not all one writer and one director. They're each separate. I think after the 15th or 16th season, it's one of the later teen seasons, they just go one writer, one director for the whole thing. Although Simpsons writing room, calling it one writer for any given episode is...
It's a little disingenuous because everyone's input goes into everything.
Yeah, everybody contributes. It's generally the person who is most responsible is the one they credit. It starts off with Bad Dream House. I'm not going to do full breakdowns on these because they're 8 minutes long. None of them have enough substance to actually have, like, they have a very simple plot. They hit the gags real quick. They're almost always parodies of existing horror or sci-fi or fantasy properties. The first one is Bad Dream House. It is written by John Swartzwelder, directed by Rich Moore. It is a parody of Amityville Horror, Poltergeist, most directly. It obviously has, it has some Shining in there as well, a few other horror movies. Basically, Simpsons move into a new house, and it's haunted. It's, yeah, and there's, you know, there's floating books, walls bleed, there's a vortex into another dimension, which has, it has a lovely gag of Homer throwing, like, an orange in, and it gets sucked in, and then a paper, like, a ball of paper hits him in the face coming out of the vortex, and it says, don't throw your garbage in here.
Which was a very good environmental message. They were everywhere in the 90s.
I think that would solve a lot of problems if there were just vortexes everywhere we could just chuck all our garbage into.
But what if there are other vortexes in their universe that lead to ours, and all of a sudden in the middle of Manhattan there's just a giant dump?
Okay, I guess that's... Well, if it's Manhattan, I don't live in Manhattan. The house starts talking to them, which is Harry Shearer doing the voice of that.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I actually got a little chill.
Get out! I can't do it justice, but it's really good. And the house is, it wants them to leave. It's haunted. It wants the Simpsons to get out. He, you know, the walls bleed, and Marge makes a comment that this house needs a woman's touch. They all, you know, Marge wants to leave right away. Homer talks him into, like, let's sleep on it, and maybe it won't be so bad in the morning. But in the middle of the night, the house starts talking to them. It tells Bart to kill the entire family, and he asks him if it's his conscience. And he goes, yeah, I am your conscience.
It's a pretty persuasive house, to be fair. I mean, it gets everyone except for Marge trying to kill each other. It even gets Maggie out of bed. That's pretty impressive.
With her little knife in her mouth. It's kind of actually cute, for despite the fact that it's a baby carrying a
toddler
knife.
Murder.
Yeah. And they get everyone out of bed, like, with a knife, and they're all supposed to kill each other. Marge is carrying a knife, but she's actually just making herself a sandwich.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, it looks good. And she obviously comes out to see them all threatening each other with knives and is shocked and appalled. It tells them what's wrong with them. Everyone drops the knives, apologizes. And she, I love this quote. This family's had its differences and we squabbled, but we've never had a knife fight before.
Well, that's definitely going to change, I'm sure, at some point.
And they've discovered ancient burial ground underneath in the basement, which obviously it's over ancient Indian burial ground, and there's even some sight gags in there. I think they have Gandhi in there as an Indian.
Get it? Because he's an Indian?
yeah, exactly. Homer calls the realtor, and he's upset at him. Realtor actually said he mentioned that it was an ancient Indian burial ground 5 or 6 times. The house starts talking them and giving them very disgusting and explicit warnings and threats about their intestines and eyes and brains coming out of orifices.
Apparently the house studies anatomy. Maybe a doctor lived there at some point.
At some point, Marge gets very, very upset and blows up at it and screams at it, which I think it's really great, because even a haunted house has to reckon with angry Marge. I think angry Marge, everyone starts paying attention because she's generally so calm and patient. When she actually gets upset, everyone goes, you know, we got to pay attention. And so Marge blows up. We actually have a clip of this. We're going to play it for you right now.
You will die. You will die slowly. Your stomach will swell. Your intestines will writhe and boil. Your eyes will burst. And some horrible stuff. Possibly your brain will start coming out through your nose.
Shush! Shut up! Quit trying to push us around! Stop saying those horrible things and show some manners!
After that, the house kind of calms down a little bit. And they just kind of have a conversationalist tone with it. And basically it comes to the point where they say, you know, Marge basically tells the house, like, we're going to have to live together. You're going to have to live with us. And the house excuses them for a second. They go outside and then it implodes. It kills itself instead of living with the Simpsons.
Well, to be fair, would you want to live with the Simpsons? I mean, come on. I think that's definitely killing yourself territory right there.
Well, it's just a house. I guess if they were around all the time, I guess it would be kind of obnoxious. But I guess, I don't know, just being in one spot for the rest of your life would be pretty depressing regardless.
That's true. Not to mention, I'm sure the Simpsons lost their mortgage. It's pretty sad.
Anything else in this one? Any other gags that we didn't touch on, Matt, you can think of?
Not really. There aren't a whole lot of gags in these. I mean, there's a few here and there.
The sight gags are mainly that, you know, all the Indians in the... in the Indian burial ground, Native American burial ground. If you want to, the conversation with a real estate agent is pretty good. Homer gets up pretty upset before realizing he probably got mentioned and he just didn't realize it.
That's true. We all have those things with our realtors. They keep mentioning over and over again and we just completely bypass it.
We have Lisa. It chose to destroy itself rather than live with us. One can't help but feel a little rejected.
Just a little bit. I was like, it's actually kind of a funny inversion because usually no one makes that alive and the house still stands. But in the Simpsons episode, the house dies and the Simpsons survive.
Yeah, that's kind of how they flip it. I do like there's a quote early on. The house goes, "Get out." And Marge asks what it is. And Homer says, "It's probably just the house settling." Which that's a good one. That's a good gag. I think we can move on to the second one, which is Hungry Are the Damned. This is written by Jake Hogan and Wallace Wolodarski, and directed by Rich Moore. This is Aliens, the first appearance of Kang and Kodos, which...
very first Treehouse of Horror, they were there.
First Treehouse of Horror, and they've appeared in every single one. It's like I guess, an unofficial rule that they have to appear in every one. I think they, even if it's fleeting, they just fly by in a UFO and say something pithy. I think they've appeared in every single one. It's a very direct parody of Twilight Zone episode To Serve Man, which is a very good episode. Unfortunately, it's like the spoiler, the ending is so well known. Like you could watch this episode and it kind of spoils the ending of that Twilight Zone episode. It's still a good episode. It's a solid kind of twist Twilighty Zone episode.
Definitely. I mean, they don't really do much with the formula. They basically just add the Simpsons and a few basic jokes, but it really works.
Yeah, that's kind of how the formula of the Treehouse of Horror and why you just add the Simpsons to kind of something and subvert it a little bit, you know, and it works. It makes it, and yeah, the gags, of course, the Simpsons style humor works pretty much in any kind of genre, honestly. But Kang and Kodos, the Simpsons get abducted. There's a very funny sight gag about Homer. They can't beam him up with one tractor beam, like the engine, like, whines in the UFO. I really like that. They have to use an assist tractor beam.
Hey, they had to do that on the Enterprise all the time. I've seen all the Star Trek episodes.
I don't recall that, Matt.
Well, I don't know what Star Trek you were watching then.
Next Generation.
Yeah, this totally happened in, like, Voyager.
Okay. I have to trust you on that because I've never watched Voyager. But they get abducted. And they're introduced to Kang and Kodos from Rigel Four. And there's also the good gag about Marge asks, why are they speaking English? Or compliments on their English. They say Rigelian is the same as English. Just happens to be the same language.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, it's subtly subversive of lots of science fiction. And stuff like that, because conveniently aliens can speak the same language as us.
Wait. You're saying English isn't a universal language across all the galaxies? I don't believe you.
Well, I think they cheat. They just call it common or something like that. So everyone, or universal or something like that. And it sounds like English. But for the most part, they bring them on the ship and then just feed them. And that is kind of the crux of the episode. You know, they get all their favorite food, and the aliens are, you know, salivating, watching them eat. They weigh them. They, you know, call Marge a dish. They say, "Oh yes," Marge asks or Lisa asks why they're not eating, and the aliens say, "Oh, we're eating when we get back, and you'll be the guest of honor." And they say it. They chuckle, and they. You know, they say very kind of suspicious things. I don't blame Lisa when she gets suspicious of them.
Well, to be fair, anyone who's grown up on Earth knows that saying those kind of things is incredibly suspicious. It's those crazy aliens, man. They don't know that they're being suspicious.
I guess so. James Earl Jones does do a voice in every single one of these segments, but he only has one word in that first one, so I don't really mention him, but he plays the mover. He has like one line about he's glad the house is haunted after Homer tips him a dollar. But he plays Sarek the Preparer in this segment, who's the cook, basically. Lisa is suspicious, so she kind of sneaks around the ship, finds Sarek the Preparer, and finds a book, says how to cook humans. They shows the family, and they're obviously very upset, but then Kodis and Kang and Sarek show up, and they do the gag that, the famous gag of, you know, there's dust on this book. So they blow it off, and it says, how to cook 4 humans. And they blow it off. Lisa blows off more dust. How to cook 40 humans. Kodos blows off more dust, and it's how to cook 40 humans.
I never realized space was quite that dusty.
There's a lot of dust in space, apparently. Especially in UFOs. I guess it makes sense. But the aliens are shocked and appalled that they would think that these humans, that the humans thought they would eat them. They, Sarek the Preparer cries. And it's delightful, and my favorite part of the segment, we have the clip for you, so we'll play it right now.
I slaved in the kitchen for days for you people, and...
Well, if you wanted to make Sarek the Preparer cry, mission accomplished.
You aren't the only beings who have emotions, you know.
So the aliens drop them back off on Earth, and guilt trip them in, at the end, telling them... all the things they're missing because they were too suspicious.
For a superior race, they really know how to rub it in.
Yes, and Lisa, there were monsters on that ship, and truly we were them. And then the family's like, Lisa, see what we mean when you say you're too smart for your own good. And then the family passes the guilt along to Lisa. I do like the gag about them having like a million channels on the UFO, and Bart asks if they have HBO and says no, it costs extra. Because that still applies. That joke still works 25 years later. It's so good that HBO has persevered. Marge is very impressed that they have radish rosettes.
But unfortunately, their video game technology is a little behind.
Yeah, they only have Pong, which I think that's really funny because that's still the kind of reference for an old video game. One of my boss made that reference the other day at work when we were talking. She overheard us mentioning video games, and she said, "Oh yeah, I played Pong on an Atari." Like that's the thing. Like yeah, that's what people remember. Like in it, I think that's funny that HBO and Pongs persist. Anything else worth mentioning, Matt? Before we go to the last one,
don't think so.
Don't think so either. We're gonna move on to the last one of the show, and this is The Raven. Do you think this is the most memorable of the three?
I don't know if I would call it.
It's the one a lot of, like, Kim, my fiance, this is the one she remembers of of this episode.
That's true, because, I mean, most memorable, I would definitely say that's true, because it's one of those things where you don't expect a primetime television show to essentially be reading an Edgar Allan Poe story.
Yeah, Lisa, actually, the little segues between this are just Lisa and Bart kind of, like, trying to one-up each other. And Lisa's like, I'm going to read it. Bart is very suspicious because it's a school book. And she's like, don't worry, you won't learn anything. And it's her reading The Raven, originally written by Edgar Allan Poe. Sam Simon actually wrote this segment, and it was directed by David Silverman, obviously with help by Edgar Allan Poe. It takes the scene, it takes the place of Homer is the narrator in the poem. And James Earl Jones does all the dialogue is Homer's voice, done by Dan Castellaneta, and all the kind of just, I guess, scene setting and other narration is James Earl Jones, who does an amazing job.
It's fantastic. I mean,
I could listen to him read Poe poems all the time. Like, he should do a whole book, just do all the Poe short stories and poems. I could do it all. I need to check for audiobooks that have him narrating.
That's a good point, because, I mean, honestly, him reading the Telltale Heart would probably drive me insane.
This has the... I mean, most of this is... The charm in this segment, I think this is also, like, the most kind of hot and cold segment in this episode. Like, if you are a literature nerd like myself...
And your fiancé, obviously.
Yes. She's not as much as I am, but I think there's people who, you know, they like poetry, they like Poe, they like The Raven, or you really don't. And this doesn't have a lot of, like, jokey jokes, because it's really just a reading of The Raven. There's all the jokes are basically Bart just kind of interjecting. Like, him basically... The Raven shows up, it has a caricature of... It's a caricature of Bart. Lenore, the woman who's died in The Raven, is Marge. She is a portrait of Marge with... They actually have to have a second painting to have her hair, which is actually a pretty clever psych gag. And Maggie and Lisa serve as, like, cherubs or seraphim or something.
Seraphim.
It's hard to really summarize this in any way, because it's just basically going through the plot of The Raven, the story of The Raven. But Dan Castellaneta, for as well as James Earl Jones does, Dan Castellaneta does just as good a job doing at the reading of this, because it could be very easy to make it really boring, but the combination of the difference between James Earl Jones' delivery and Dan Castellaneta's delivery, plus the noises he makes, it does a great job at selling this. By the end, you know, it's basically the narrator kind of yelling at this raven who's driving him crazy, reminding him of his dead lady. That's my summary of the plot of The Raven, if you want to give it one. The Raven says, "Nevermore, nevermore." And Bart interjects at one point, say, "Eat my shorts," but Lisa quiets him down. it's pretty good. Dan Castellaneta ratchets up his delivery throughout the segment and does a wonderful job. And I have the part where he starts getting really angry and yelling at this raven. It really sells it, and we have that clip. It's amazing. And here it is.
Be that word I say departing, murder fiend!
I shrieked up starting.
Get thee back into the tempest and the night Plutonian shore! No, leave no black plume as a token of the lie thy soul has spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from off my heart and take thy form from off my door.
Quoth the raven.
Nevermore.
It ends with basically Homer trying to catch this raven, kill it, and fails. And the raven is still at the top of the door saying nevermore forever. The animation in this is amazing. Like the character models for Homer and Bart, the little raven part, and even Marge as Lenore are really great. They really nail the setting of the poem, and it really kind of captures the eeriness of this poem.
It's true. I mean, between the animation and James Earl Jones and even Dan Castellaneta's delivery, I mean, you do get a little bit of weirdness that it's you know, the Homer voice of you know, the narrator of the poem or the person it's about, but it could be just a straight-up reading of The Raven. That's how good all of it is.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's great. It eventually ends, and Bart is still skeptical. He's like, that wasn't very scary, which I imagine that's just to appeal to the people who aren't huge nerds. But Lisa makes the point that it was written in 1845, and maybe people were more impressionable back then. They're easier to scare. And Bart compares it to the first Friday the 13th.
It's pretty tame by today's standards.
I like the first Friday the 13th is my favorite one.
Well, that's true, because it's the really good one. The rest of them just get more gory, so they don't get any better.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to see the crazy kills and stuff, but the plot really doesn't go anywhere after that first one. I was looking on the news groups, and this segment in particular seemed to really polarize people. And because the other two have more kind of jokey jokes. I don't know, like typical kind of Simpsons humor. This is much more reliant on just the kind of gravitas of James Earl Jones, which he certainly has. He was freaking Darth Vader, so he can read the Edgar Allan Poe and make it sound great. But it doesn't, it's still basically the Raven at the end of the day. And people who don't like poetry aren't going to necessarily like this.
It's true. I mean, it's one of the, it's very telling that they never tried to do this again. It's like they were like, well, maybe we'll give it a shot. And then they realized, oh, people still really come for the jokes. So.
Yeah, I don't. Matt Groening. Yeah, yeah. Matt Groening was worried that it was going to be very pretentious. I personally love this segment. It's my favorite of this episode by far. The other two are fine. They're good. This is my favorite. But I, being a huge literature nerd, it's pretty much directly in my wheelhouse. I'm all for it. Anything in particular you wanted to mention about it before we move on, Matt?
No, I can't really think of anything. It's just incredibly good, and it was... I feel like the idea of a three separate stories in one 30-minute episode has been done before, but never as creatively as The Simpsons have done here. And they absolutely pulled off 100%.
Yeah, it's very, very good. This episode's great. Treehouse of Horror are pretty much regarded as almost all of them as classics. And the new ones still get the best ratings pretty much every year because you know what you're getting. I want to move on to our news group's posting from that week. I had hinted, I kind of teased it last week about someone being negative about Treehouse of Horror, and I do want to read this one, at least a little bit of it. I think the Halloween special is probably one of the worst. This night is a night of havoc. Just think of the things Bart could have done if he went trick-or-treating. The only part, blah, 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 the only part I enjoyed was the Pong scene and Bad Dream House. I thought the show was much too tame for such a great Halloween night. I was disappointed, etc. But I do have, I don't want to paint that everyone was negative, because most of the people were very positive and really enjoyed it. So, I mean, obviously, this is a well-regarded episode in the Simpsons lore. Someone kind of replied to that saying, I enjoyed last night's episode. Maybe it's me, but a number of folks are judging each episode on humor alone. Really impressed me last night was the animation, the feel behind it, particularly outer space segment and the Raven. I find a lot more attention to detail with a serious overtone. He goes on to, you know, mention examples of other shows that not necessarily concentrate only on humor, even though they are mainly comedies. He's like, I find this new series concentrating more on those serious overtones, yet the humor is still intact. I'm looking forward to the rest of the series, and the quote, the Raven eating my shorts was hysterical. So I think that comment is pretty emblematic of the change in, I mean, that was there in the first season, but I think that's why a lot of people love these episodes. That they're not necessarily strictly funny, is that they try and do more than just be funny. They try and be kind of scary. Like, some of them are generally chilling. They try and just do kind of homages, or they try and do what they did with the Raven, which is really entertaining and really, like, beautiful and wonderful. So I think that comes out in those postings, and I think that people were starting to see that.
That's true. It seems like in the first season or two, people were still kind of realizing that it's not all about jokes. Yes, this is an animated program, but it's in prime time and it has a real set of writers, and they're not just going to throw jokes at you all the time. They're actually going to try and make you think just a little bit.
Yeah, the Simpsons are starting to become the Simpsons. We have their first Treehouse of Horror. We have episodes that are, you know, run the gamut of emotional content and comedic content. And they're finding their voice. They're getting in their own. And Treehouse of Horror 1, great episode. It starts it off really great. I think that probably weakest for me is the Bad Dream House, just because it's kind of... It's hard to... As we're revisiting these episodes, it's hard to adequately judge these.
That's true, because if this was like the first Treehouse of Horror you ever saw, it would probably blow your mind in crazy ways. But coming back from, you know, we've seen, what, 24, 25 Treehouse of Horrors now?
Yeah.
They
figure out how to go further with this.
Yeah, especially like with Bad Dream House and the Space Adventure. They're, you know, like people said, they're direct homages. And in later seasons, they definitely go further. They make it a little more maybe even wacky. Add the more jokes that people were requesting, but they still stay true to it. Whereas in this one, it's pretty much strictly an homage to the few sight gags added.
Yeah, but still very good. It's still really quality content. It moves very quickly. Each little segment is very tight and gets, you have to be 8-minute segments to kind of get a point across. You have to be very tight and just tell the story you want to tell very quickly. And they do that very well. We're going to move on to our listener question of the week, which this week's question was, what is your favorite Simpsons kiss? Coming off Simpson, Delilah, and Homer kissing Carl, or Carl kissing Homer, to be fair. You guys did a great job, as always. I can always rely on you guys to give us great answers. From Twitter, we have Danny at Whoosh Danny H, which great username. Homer and Marge at the lighthouse from the Mysterious Voyage of Homer. Perfect emotional ending and scene with them silhouetted in the spotlight. Which, yeah, it's a great one. Jean-Pierre at JPX9003. Homer loves Ned Flanders. Homer kisses Ned during the ball game, and Ned's face is so uncomfortable. It's the first thing I thought of. But yeah, that's Ned facing his gay fright. Great. Amanda at Drawn to Insanity. Best kiss on The Simpsons. Lisa and Nelson in Lisa's Date with Density. Kevin at Daddy Poirier. His submission for best kiss that came to me. Burns Air. Homer kisses Hans Mole Man. Just like kissing a peanut. On Facebook, we have Richard A, who also, he has the same answer. Homer and Mole Man, because who knew that it would taste like a peanut? Which I love it that two people submitted that answer. Because I didn't think of it, and it's, yeah, just like kissing a peanut. We have Gaspar H, at Facebook. Definitely Lurleen Lumpkin in Homer's Kiss. As an adult, I find myself really drawn to Homer and Marge's relationship stories and realness of trials and tribulation, but also the bond and forgiveness in their marriage. From the moment Marge says, I'll love you for the rest of my life, to that loving gaze in each other's eyes in bed, I don't know how anyone can have dry eyes. And that is a good one. And John has the same answer, Homer and Lurleen, because it helped him realize that the perfect woman for him is still Marge. Connor, I'm going to have to go with the multiple Milhouse kissing Samantha from Bart's Friend Falls in Love. I honestly don't know why. I like that answer because he just goes, I don't know why. I just like it. And that is a good, I like that. That's good. Bart, the jealousy of Bart and losing Milhouse in that one. And finally, we have Dylan, it's Homer's kiss with Grady and then Marge. In three gays of the condo. And
people really like Homer kissing other guys.
Yeah, well, it's instant comedy. Quote unquote, that was the best kiss I've had all day. Or was it? So, Homer, when he's kissed his other, like, he does it without any sense of that kind of, the gay panic or fright that Ned had in that, the aforementioned kiss. And I think it makes it funny. It makes it that, you know, it makes you like Homer, the fact that he's not, you know, self-conscious most of the time, unless it's an episode with John Waters about gay people. Like, that's the only time, that one episode, it seems.
Unless that's the joke of the episode, it doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't. Matt, what is your favorite Simpsons kiss?
Well, I have to say, I really wanted to pick Lisa's Date with Density, but since someone else already picked that, and obviously I can't pick what someone else picked.
You are allowed to pick other people's answers.
No,
that's not a rule.
That's a self-imposed
rule. I do it every week.
I'm going to go with Grade School Confidential between Principal Skinner and Mrs. Krabappel in the
Closet?
No. Well, the closet was closed. I'm actually going to go with the one in Martin's dollhouse.
No, that's good.
Because who didn't have their first kiss in a dollhouse in someone's backyard?
Yeah, Bart in the window, like, aghast. Yeah, it's a very good one. And that's a great kiss, great episode. I wanted to say the janitor closet because I, little Ralph's,
they were answer. Making babies and the baby looked at me.
Yeah, that, I love that. My answer is Lisa's Date with Density. Lisa kissing Nelson.
Was it the this'll shut her up that really got to you?
It's a really wonderful, like, it captures really that awkwardness of a first kiss. Nelson's little, that's a really great, like, you don't see too many Nelson episodes, and that was, I still think of that. Like, and it, I like the fact that Lisa goes, my first kiss, but Nelson's still not that great a kid. I'm better than this, kind of. at the end of the, and I think that's, it's, it really it encapsulates kind of your experience as a kid. Like, oh, look, I kissed somebody. They're not that great.
That's usually how first kisses go.
Yeah. So I really like it. And, you know, Lisa episodes. It's hard for me not to like Lisa's episodes. I totally forgot to mention this before we go on. I do want to say that someone posted in the news group, like, this week, saying hello to us, Matt. It really made my day. I thought they are a fan. So, yeah, you guys can, if you want to go in, I forgot to mention this, go in the news group. You can post. There's still people who post on it. If you go in Google Groups, alt.tv.simpsons. Our listener question for next week, very simple. Favorite Treehouse of Horror segment. This is segment, not episode, but individual segment. Which is your favorite and why? There's so many good ones to choose from. This is going to be very, very tough for me to decide. I cannot think of one. I do not have a quick answer off the top of my head. I'm going to have to ponder.
I can't even really think of a bad one, so this is going to be a very tough decision.
Sorry, guys. I don't think either of us have seen the Family Guy Simpsons crossover yet. I've been meant to watch it this week, but I don't have cable or really much television at all, so I'd have to find a way online to watch it.
It was surprisingly not bad.
Was it? Matt, you saw it?
I did.
Okay.
Yes, it was.
I've heard it was good. I need to watch it. Whenever I watch it, I'll let you guys know how I think about it. If Matt thought it was okay, I'll probably like it slightly more than him.
That's true. It's the Simpsons parts were good, the Family Guy parts, but we can discuss that when you've actually seen it.
Okay. I post all our listener questions on Twitter and Facebook and Reddit. I just put it on the Simpsons subreddit. It's The Simpsons Are The Simpsons. Twitter, again, is at Simpsons Show Pod. And Facebook is facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Follow us at those places and join the discussion. I try and, if I ever see interesting Simpsons stuff pop up online, I try and post it. And we can kind of engage in discussion with that. I think we've done everything there is to do in this episode, except for one thing.
Uh-oh.
And that is the segment we end every episode with, and that segment is called Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is a segment where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually hopefully getting a list of every episode that's ever been ever aired and how good they are in relation to each other. It will take us a decade. If we keep at our current pace.
And man, it's going to get hard soon. It's hard enough right now, but it's going to be really bad next season.
It's going to be tough. And I think I asked Matt, this is an interesting question. We kind of discussed it off air, is how do we include the Treehouse of Horror episodes? They're not canonical. They are completely, you know, they're just little adventure stories. What ifs in The Simpsons in different, you know, fantasy, sci-fi, horror universes. Should we include them with the rest of them? Should we have their own list for them, et cetera, et cetera? But at the end of the day, I wanted this list to include everything. So I think we'll basically try and weigh them along with everything else. And this part, it will be part of the discussion how a Treehouse of Horror fits in with all the other episodes.
Plus, once we do more Treehouse of Horrors, maybe we can rank them separately as well.
That's very true. I'm currently breaking our list down by season, and we have obviously an overall master list, and then I break it down by season as well. And eventually, we'll get more Treehouse of Horrors. I'll break it down by that, and you know it can be part of the discussion as we go on. I think it's more interesting to include it and see what comes up. With this, it's a good episode, but it doesn't face the same challenges that a normal episode does, which is why I think it's interesting to discuss it, because you have to write an 8-minute segment for it. And you have basically an outline already with them being based on an existing story, which a lot of Simpsons episodes do that, but there's a lot more space to maneuver in a 20 or 21 or 22 minute episode versus a segment that only as at most 8 minutes, generally shorter. I would put this right behind Krusty Gets Busted.
Wow, actually, I was just looking at the list and I was pretty much agreeing dead on with you. I really enjoy the Treehouse of Horror episodes, but this one is, I don't want to say the worst one, but they're still trying to find their feet, essentially, with these Trials of Horror episodes. And they may not have known if they were ever going to do another one. But it definitely is good. I really enjoy the references. It's surprisingly light on jokes, especially in light of the Raven section. But the animation is great. The voice acting is great. But it just can't get over the hump of Krusty Gets Busted. So,
yeah,
I would agree.
Krusty Gets Busted, our favorite episode from season one. I would say, honestly to me, the Raven is what even gets it that high. If it was another segment that was similar to the first two, I would put it probably underneath Martha General or Moaning Lisa. But I love the Raven enough.
You are a book nerd.
I'm a book nerd. So, I'm glad we agree after last week's show. We had a little showdown, but we're going to have a lot of those because it's hard to think about it. That's one of the reasons we include this segment is because this kind of discussion about qualitatively trying to judge which is better is almost impossible, but the discussion brings out kind of a lot of facts about a person more than the Simpsons themselves, which Matt liking Simpsons Live so much really intrigued me. So I'm glad that we had that. But we have Trials of Horror number one now at number four on the list. Bart Gets an F, still number one, and Homer's Odyssey still pulling up the rear. Which who knows how long it'll stay there. Next week we're doing Two Cars in Every Garage and Three Eyes on Every Fish. Quite the mouthful. But I haven't seen this episode in quite a while, so I'm interested to get fresh eyes on it and see how it holds up.
I would have to agree. It's been a very long time. Is Mr. Burns as evil as we all remember?
Probably.
More than likely, yeah.
I think that will bring us to a close. Until next time, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons!